Okay, Zechariah towards the end of Zechariah, up to the last psukim. Yesterday we did the Vadak, now we're going to do the Malbim and whatever we have left. On page 858, let's take a look over here. Let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim is on Pasuk Yitez, Zoysiyat Chadas Mitzrayim Chadas Kol HaGoyim, Sha'achar Shechadas Mitzrayim Tigdal Tiyoyser LaHanisham B'Mageifa. After we've discovered the sin of the of Egypt will cause them to suffer more than Magefa. The Malbim is telling us of here an idea that no one said, that no one has said so far, that the punishment of the Magefa is worse than the punishment of Atziras Geshamim. Now, that's an idea. Every type of punishment can be worse than another. A person has a magefa. I mean, we don't even know what the magefa is, so there's no way for us to measure what's worse than the other. You know, look at the tragedy going on right now in California. What's the worst part of the tragedy? The worst part of the tragedy is, I mean, the people died. That's obviously a tragedy. I have to open up my big mouth, my foolish mouth. But part of the tragedy that really, really is horrific is the inui hadin, the waiting. The waiting. The families. Well, only the families, for us also. It's a horrible thing to be left in limbo. Okay? The inui hadin. Someone did this tragedy, and they're just waiting. Another day. You got your mind. Okay? A person needs closure. You need closure, you need, you know, Avelus, Shiva, get back to life. And, you know, it's already, it's difficult as is, but such a thing. Every type of problem comes with its own pain. The Holocaust, I once read somewhere, this shook me up. The Holocaust was 6 years. 6 years. After 6 years, it was over. Now, people were traumatized for life. Let's not make believe. This is a walk in the park. This is the horror. People lost their whole family, their wife, their children. They lost everything. Traumatized their minds. We were shot, but it was over. It was after 6 years. The Holocaust was over. And now what? I don't know how it was possible to rebuild. People, I've heard this from people. People, they suffer in different situations. They're suffering for 30 years, for 40 years. Different types of issues they have in their life, and it drives them there. It drives them there, and they say, you know, this is a sorrow that I have to deal with. It just doesn't go away. It doesn't go away, and there's no expectation that it will ever go away. I'm going to the grave with this sorrow, and it eats me alive. So when we talk here about the Magefa and Geshem, what's worse? I don't know. We don't know what the Magefa is, and we don't know what it means that there was no Geshem. What does it mean there's no Geshem? So there's no Parnassus. Does that mean everyone is starving? There's dehydration. There is thirst. There is a famine. It doesn't say. The Malbim we hear makes a blanket statement, which is a shocking thing to say, and he says, I'm telling you that the Magefa is worse than the Atziras Geshem. Wow, that's a chiddush. You have to preach that's a chiddush because We don't even know what's going on here. And every type of tzara carries with it. It's something, a unique frustration, a unique dimension that you can't compare it to another tzara. Like people, you know, the most foolish thing a person can say when they go to a Beis Avel, let's say a person lost a parent. And the person that's coming to the Menachem Avel also lost a parent. And he says to the Avel, I know what it's like. What an idiot to say that. You know what it's like. Just because you lost your father doesn't mean you know what it's like for him to lose his father. There's no such thing in comparing one sorrow to another sorrow. Every person, when they suffer, it's a world to itself. There's no comparison. You don't know what it's like. You don't know about that person's relationship. You don't know how much his father meant to him. It's a different world. You cannot compare. It's a foolish thing to ever say to another person, I understand. I know what it's like. You don't understand nothing. You can say that I went through a tzara and I had a lot of pain. And I understand what it means to have pain, but I don't understand what you're going through. I only can identify with you in regard to the fact that you're going through a very hard time. And I also once upon a time went through a hard time. What I went through, does it compare to what you went through? It doesn't. Let's make that clear. It doesn't. But at least we share something in common that we've had difficulties. And other, maybe you can teach me. Maybe you can teach me how to deal with my pain. Because hayaluchud vahayaluchud. But to say that I know it, you don't know what it's like. It can't be. So here, the Ma'amu here again is saying something that is really, really very shocking. He says over Yesh'acha Shachatas Mitzrayim Tigdal Yoser, that the sin of Egypt is greater than the sin, or the, listen, the Poronos. The word we said over here, the word Chatas means, according to the Poronos, the punishment of Egypt. Tigdal Yoser. It's a greater punishment. Lehanisham Bamagefa. To punish them with magefa, shu oynish yoiser godol. It's a greater punishment me'atziras kishamen. That's a quiet chiddush. On the chiddush meter, 10. Okay, he's saying a chiddush that. Really? How do you know that? Every type of tzara is unique. You have to. Atziras kishamen can be. There are elements too that can be worse than magif, whatever. Now he's trying to say, now that I am telling you that it is good, why? Why is it greater? The answer is because Egypt was with goig v'loy lakhu musar al yodam yiyeze gam chatas kol hagoyim lahanisham gam ken b'magifa im mitzrayim. Now let's read, I don't know what those words mean, but he's saying over here is the other nations of the world, it appears, will not all participate in Melchemes Gog u'Magog. It appears the way the Malam understands what's going to happen, the way it's going to play out in the Achar Sayyam, there are going to be nations that are not going to come. They're going to stay far, far away. And they're not going to witness firsthand Shalom Aleichem.
Friend Rabbi Harris Kupnick.
Shalom Aleichem.
Phoenix, Arizona, Rosh Kolel, Rav of the Shul, Principal of Yeshiva.
So he should be giving the Shul. So he should be giving the share. So he should be giving the share. You like to say something, maybe?
No. I'm here to listen.
Please, I'm not deserving.
Mark is the talker.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Shalom Aleichem. We have your special guest. Let me introduce what your name is. Rabbi Kuberman?
Harris
Kuberman from Phoenix,
Arizona.
Wow. Welcome, Baruchim Haboyim. To Brooklyn, New York.
But originally from Brooklyn.
Oh, originally from Brooklyn. Machzer HaTorah LeYoshna. Okay, so what he seems over here to be saying here is that in the time of Mohammed's Gog u'Magog, there is going to be a, not all of the nations are going to come to the war, and those nations that do not come to the war are not going to witness firsthand the Churban, what's going to happen to Gog u'Magog. Therefore, they are less guilty. They have less guilty than the nations that were present at Mohammed's Gog u'Magog and survived and witnessed firsthand the Yad Hashem. So the nafkamina is in the aftermath, after the Mohammed's Gog u'Magog is over, and now there is a demand, there is an obligation for all of the nations, all of the surviving nations of the world to make the oil of the regal, to come for Sukkos and bow before Hashem. And there are going to be nations that are in violation of this directive. But the degree of guilt for violation is not the same. The nations that saw firsthand, they were at the front lines and saw firsthand the Yad Hashem, the splitting of Har HaZeisim, and the obliteration of Gog u'Magog, and they still refuse to ascend to pay homage to Hashem. They are in bed. They're much, much worse than the nations who only heard about this on the radio or watched full footage online. They did not see the Yad Hashem. So the nations that were far away and were not part of Mohammed's Gog u'Magog and are in violation of not coming to the Beis HaMikdash to bow before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will suffer a punishment of Atziras Geshamim. But Mitzrayim, who was on the front lines and was part of Milchemes Goygul Magog, they were there. They were participants in the Milchama, and for whatever reason they survived. And now you don't want to come and bow before HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you saw with your own eyes the miracles. You are much, much worse than the other nations. You were eyewitnesses. And are you eyewitnesses and you still refuse? You will suffer a greater punishment. What is that greater punishment? The Magefa. The Magefa, the Malbim learns, is much worse than Atziras Geshamim. And therefore, that's why the Egyptians will suffer a greater punishment. That's why it's over here at the end of this word, on page 859. Pasuk Yutes. The Pasuk Yutes in the Malbim. Ki heim, I'll read the whole thing one more time. Sha'acha shachatas Mitzrayim tigdal yoseh lahanisham. After the pun, we're translating the word chatas as punishment. The punishment of Egypt. Wait, tigdal yoseh, tigdal, no, let's translate actually to mean the sin. Okay, the sin of Egypt is tigdal yoseh lahanisham b'magef. I'm not even sure what I'm saying, but basically it's all the same. We learned yesterday the word chatas here means two things. It means the sin, and it means the punishment. After they've sinned to a greater degree than the other nations, they will suffer a greater punishment, in that they will suffer the Magefa, whereas the other nations will only suffer Atziras Geshamim. Why? Shu oynesh yoyser gadol mi Atziras Geshamim. Ki heim hayu im goyg v'loy laku musa. You know why they're going to suffer? Because they were with goyg, and they witnessed firsthand. Al yadam yezeh gam chatas kol hagoyim, through them will also be the sin of all the nations. Lehanisham gam came the magefa im Mitzrayim. Okay, I don't really know. The words over here are a little bit vague, but we did see something very similar to this in the Radak. Was the Radak or was it Rashi? I don't know if we remember, but we saw one of the other Mepharshim explain something very, very interesting, in that originally Hashem was only going to punish the Goyim, the nations, with Atziras Geshamim. Period. And that would have been enough. But then we have another nation, a stubborn nation, Mitzrayim, and Atziras Geshamim is not an appropriate punishment because they don't need rain. They say to Hashem, well, you're threatening us, that you're not going to allow it to rain in Egypt. We don't need your rain. It anyway never rains in Egypt. So Hashem says, you're right, I can't punish you. I think it's that expression, I can't take the money away from you, but I can take you away from the money. So what will I give you instead? A magefa. Oh, once the Magefa begins, now it's going to spread the Magefa to all of the other nations as well. So originally there was no plan for a Magefa. There was only a plan for Atziras Geshamim. Mitzrayim, they decided also to rebel. Okay, so we can't punish you with Atziras Geshamim because it doesn't rain there anyway. So for you, we're going to invent a new Magefa, a new punishment. A magef. Oh, and once already in Shemayim, we've opened up the channel of punishment of a magefa. The magefa will spread to all the other nations as well. The Malbim over here is coming to allude to that idea, and he's saying even more. He's saying he's even really adding another dimension to this idea, and is saying that it seems like that the other nations of the world are going to learn chutzpah from the tribe. The other nations of the world were not such great mechutzof. They didn't come to the Beis HaMikdash to bow down to Hashem at this point. And to a degree, they're saying, why should we come? Why should we matriarch ourselves? And what do you mean? Didn't you see the miracles? No, we didn't. We didn't see the miracles. Milchemes Goyim u'Magog took place in Yerushalayim. We live in the far corners of the earth. We don't know what's going on. We heard about it. We read about it. We saw video clips. We saw things. Okay, so no. So we saw, so we don't come. So the sin, their sin is not as great. But Egypt, that's a terrible sin. Egypt was there, they saw firsthand. And they lahachas decided not to come to bow to Hashem. And that's a terrible thing. And here's the point. When the other nations of the world witness Egypt, their ally, not go to Yerushalayim, and the other nations of the world say to themselves, wow, even they're not going. And they really saw the miracles. Oh, now they feel justified They feel vindicated why they're, if even Egypt doesn't have to go, even they're not going to go, so we're also not going to go. And they learn, they feel encouraged with chutzpah not to go. So, you know, if someone invites you to a wedding, and you're a very distant friend, you know the guy from shul, you don't really, and someone's making chasna and you don't go. So you feel bad. Next morning you come to shul and you see this person's close friend, the one who made a sinuk. See, so you say, you didn't tell me how was the chasna last night? Mm-hmm. So he says, I didn't go. You didn't go? You didn't go? You're his best friend. He says, yeah, I know, but you know, I didn't go. So when you hear that the best friend didn't go, oh. So you see, I'm now, I don't have to feel good that I didn't go. But the truth is, you're both wrong.
I would feel worse.
You're both wrong. The good friend didn't go. He's really in trouble. And not only is he in trouble because he did not go, he is in trouble because he now has influenced you to feel good about yourself that you didn't go. It's a double sin. He did an avla to his best friend by not going to his simcha. And the second avla is that the people that are distant friends, that did feel guilt, they no longer feel guilt. That's even worse. The influence that he had. It's exactly what it says over here. At the time of Yimus HaMashiach, after Muhammad Sagar Magog, there's going to be a directive that everyone has to come on Chag HaSukkah, it's the Baal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who has to come? Everyone. There are nations that are far, far away, they don't even know what's going on. To some degree, whatever this means, we don't know anything. Whatever this means, they're far away. And then there's nations that saw firsthand what happened, Mitzrayim. So the nations that are far away, they don't go. So Hashem says, oh, I'm going to punish you now with that Tzias Kishan. And then, what about Egypt? You didn't go. What a chutzpah. You were part of the battle. You saw firsthand the Yad Hashem. And you don't go bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A chutzpah. You're going to get it. You, and what's the chutzpah? There's a double chutzpah. Number one, you're not coming to bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now, number two, the nations that are far, far away, that feel bad, but don't consider themselves to be terrible Bali Avera, if Egypt didn't go, oh, that's right, it's Mechazek, then we also don't have to go. That's even worse. And when that happens, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu now brings the Magefa, the severe punishment upon Egypt, it's now going to spread. The disease will spread also to the other nations because they've now connected themselves to the Avla of Mitzrayim. We looked at somewhere over here before, and that's what the Malbim here seems to be saying, but it just elaborates a little bit more. Look, we do this, the first wide line in the Malbim. Al Yadam, because of Egypt, Yihyeh Zegam Chatas Kol Hagoyim. Because of Egypt, the Magefa will be unleashed. Will spread, and it will not just stop with Egypt. It will spread to the entire world, to all the goyim. Why? Kol goyim lehanisham, to punish them. Gam came b'magefa in Mitzrayim. Even though that was not part of the original plan, the original plan was only to punish the other nations with geshem, atziras geshamim. Now with the magefa.
This idea. Probably be used, could be expanded to say all the people in Fusfara who didn't take the 1967
take advantage.
Okay,
that's an old story.
But here you see it, it's like right in front of your face.
Okay, this is a big topic. This is a big topic. You're right. We always say that the statistics are that the same number of people. About 5% of the Jewish population took advantage of Koresh's permission to return to Eretz Yisrael. That's what they say. 5% of the Jewish population existing in the world at that point in time, when Koresh said, "Return, I'm giving you, I'm going to give you money, I'm going to help you, go back, rebuild the Beis Hamikdash," only 5% took advantage in 1948. And like you said, after you know. 1967, and the various wars, what percent of the Jewish population in the world returned to Eretz Yisrael? Exactly the same, about 5%. So, and Ezra severely chastised, criticized Klal Yisrael for not being early Lorenzo. It was a very great complaint against Klal Yisrael. So if that was true then, how much, and what's there left to say for you as truly?
Yeah,
right? So, how does all this work? Very good. So, you know, there are people who come to the defense. I don't know. This is not
for now.
Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk off in the Malam. Bayim on that. Bayim who the Tzimul Lema Achashim Shlam Shelo Asad Tiyer Chayka Min Amigdash Men Hey Mil. So this we discussed yesterday. Men Hey Mil, 45 mil. It's going to be expanded. It's going to be relocated. This is going to be relocated. We touch upon this a few times at La Asalava. We talk about a very, very esoteric time in Jewish history in the future, where there's going to be a new Yerushalayim. And the old Yerushalayim is going to be only the place of the Beis HaMikdash and the place of the Levim. Only they are going to live in the old, and all of the regular, the population is going to be relocated to a distance of the Mitzilas HaSus. The amount, I think since 45, we had this whole discussion yesterday. Rabbi Lezer is not here today, Rabbi Lezer. We had this discussion yesterday of how much can a horse travel in a day. So Yitaka said that a 50 mile fit horse, according to the internet, Wikipedia, a horse that's been trained can travel in a day approximately 50 miles. That's a horse that is fit. And a horse that is an average horse, it says 25 miles. It's exactly what it says there. It says 45 mil. A mil is 3/4 of a mile. So we have a mathematician here. We have Mr. Marillis. So what is 3/4 of 45?
35.
That's like mamish what it says in Wikipedia. It's mamish what it says. Mamish things. Approximately 35 miles. That is going to be the distance. The distance of where the new Yerushalayim will be relocated. 45 mil. Shehim yoisim mahalach adam baragla b'yoyim shehim eser parsois. A person can walk in one day. This is Mamsa Chasak. We walk 10 parsois. A parsois is 4 mil. 40 mil. A person can walk on a day. A person can walk 40 mil. It's strange. A horse going with 45 mil. But going with 45 mil to drop more. A little strange. Why is that so? I don't know. I have no idea. We don't yet see the Mitzvah.
What about the Baragla?
Sorry, the Baragla was 10
parsois. The Baragla, that, you know, as they figure out 40. Why Hashem punished them for 40 days? So 400 parsha.
It's an extension of the number 40. So we have here. So it says over here that a person can walk 40 mil a day, and here the seal will be 45 mil. Al kein therefore tispashet hakedusha ad mokam shiochal elchem chol yom. The kedusha will expand. Tispashet hakedusha ad mokam shiochal elchem biyom echad kishuchu roichet al hasus din merutza. A person can walk 10 parsois. A parsa is 4 mil, if I'm not mistaken, and that's 40 saw, as 40 mil, and here it says 45 mil. I would imagine you're going on a horse, you're going a lot more, you can go a lot more than what a person can walk. I don't know. All I can tell you is when I was in Magen Avraham before you were all born, we broke the record. I'm sure we're still on the record. It was a mamish suicidal. Crazy counselors were suicidal. We went on a hike to break the record. They had records of all the hikes in the history of Magen Avraham. It doesn't exist anymore, really. It's been sold only a few times. I don't know. I think this year, there's no Magen Avraham period. Someone else rented the campus. Whatever it was, we went on a hike. We got up early, davening, people seeking, and we walked the entire day. We came back at night, maybe 9 o'clock at night. I really could not walk for the next week. My legs were totally, totally, like, frozen. And the next morning, before davening, they took the van with the odometer, that was called, and they traced our footsteps, and then at breakfast they did a full ceremony, and they called us all up, they said all our names, they said it with the old record, I talked to some of those people, they were older, and they broke the record, 32 miles. We broke the record, we walked in one day, how old were we? 11 years old, 12 years old, crazy, suicide. Crazy. 32 miles. So I always think about it. How much could you walk in one day? We walked 32 miles. And we were trained. This is just like total nonsense, right? 32 miles. So I would imagine that if we were trained, we were fit to do this, so we would do, I would imagine the same thing, but we wouldn't feel the pain. It would be natural. So that's very interesting. 32 miles a day. And what it says over here, Chazal, a person can walk, Mr. Mirlis, you just said it, as a person can walk 10 parsois in a day, which is 40 mil, and 40 and a mil is 3/4 of a mile.
45.
That's with the horse. That's with the horse. A horse, a person, how much can a person, what's the 3/4 is 30. It's 30, 30 miles. A person can walk, the Gemara here says, 40 mil in one day. A mil is approximately 3/4 of a mile. So the Gemara is telling us in Sefer Pesachim that a person can walk 30 miles a day. And it's absolutely true. If an 11-year-old kid can walk 32 miles and really feel a lot of pain, so I guess that's because we're just lazy bums, you know, we don't exercise. If we were trained to walk, it would be 30 miles, no sweat.
The marathon is 26 miles in 2 hours.
Okay, because those are highly professional. Right. Those are
playing tennis with a guy who took like a super marathon. He was supposed to go 100 miles. He stopped me at the 30. He said, he didn't feel like continual 100 miles. You probably run 100 miles.
Right. Those, they can't arrive at that, because those people, they train a whole year. They train months for this. They're professionals. Talking about the average person. We live in a society today where, you know, everything is Uber, the air conditioner. We're not accustomed to testing our body. But if we live the way they live, that's right. It's Mamish Chazal on the mark, 30 miles a day. On a horse, 35. Why is a horse different? I don't know. It's only a horse is so much a little different. Quickly. Fine. Now, by the way, the number 45 is a very spooky number. I'm not even referring to Meiron. I'm talking about the Teichacha. In the Teichacha, the Baal HaTurim, he counts. In the Teichacha, Parshas, Bichu Kosai, there are 45 Kololos. How many Kinnos are there in Tisha B'Av? 45 Kinnos. So 45 is the number that always reappears. 45, you should know, it's the number of the Haggadah. The Haggadah begins, Ma Nishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol HaLeilos. Ma. Why is this not night different? That's the creation of Klal Yisrael, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ma, Mem Hei, 45. There are a lot of 45. I have a whole list of 45s.
Dom.
What? That's Dom is 44.
Dom.
Sorry?
Dom.
Adam. Adam is 45?
Yeah.
Adam, that's right, it's 45, fascinating, 45. This week's parasha, and this we learned this in the afternoon, you and Mark and I learned after yesterday, this week's parasha, we have the census, and we have the mishpachas, the mishpachas ha-karni, the mishpachas ha-mu'alid, the mishpachas ha-yimni, the mishpachas, how many families are there in Klal Yisrael? 44 families. Okay, that's what that. So, how many Chanukah candles are there? Forty-four. How many applications of blood were put in the Kurdish in the Beis Hamikdash? How many times did they sprinkle out this learning Daf Yomi, Masechta Yoma? How many applications of blood were done in the Avodah of the Yom Kippurim? 44. Dama Par, Dama Soyer, inside the Kurdish Hakadosh Ben Leproches. 8, 8, 8, 8, 32. The four corners of the Mizbeach Hazavi were mixed together, and seven times on the Tiharei Shal Mizbeach, that's 43, and the remainder was poured on the Yisoid of Mizbeach Achitzoy. How many Avinu Malkenus are there?
One.
There's only one Avinu Malkenu. But how many times do you say Avinu Malkenu? 44. So you have to be aware, we're obsessed as Jews with two numbers. And 44 is dam, is blood. We're obsessed as Jews with two numbers, 44 and 45. I don't know what the connection is, I have no idea. But these two numbers appear again and again and again. There's something spooky about these two numbers in Chazal, in the rabbinic literature, in the Torah. And you know, in Meiron, no one, I didn't hear anyone talk about the number 45. All I saw was 45, 45, 45, 45. It's probably more than 45, I would imagine. Probably more people died. There's only 44 people? I have no idea. I really don't know. But the trauma, certainly a lot more than 45. The trauma to the survivors. But who knows? I don't know. We don't know what these things are. But it's here again, Nachama. What's the pshat? La'asilavai, the new Yerushalayim, is going to be specifically 45 mil away, relocated from the old Yerushalayim. The old Yerushalayim will remain where it is, but it will be only occupied by the Kohanim and those who service the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim and the Levim, and those who service. If you're not a card-carrying member of Shevet Levi, you don't go in. We have now today, you go to Yerushalayim, you know, you can't get into the old city unless you have a pass. Right? You have a pass. This is a Hachona. This is Hashem is training us. It used to be the old days, you can go to whoever is Hashem. I was like, can you go to Hashem? Whoever. Now, oh, no, no, no. A car cannot go past this thing unless you have a special, like a easy pass from the government that allows your car to enter into the old city. This is a Hachona, the Mashiach. Because when the Mashiach will come in the old city, no one's getting in there unless you are a Kohen or a Levi, or unless you have to bring a carbon. But as if I have to bring a car, everything is just a hachana. I tell you, you take the vaccine, 2 shots. Why 2 shots? Hachana, paraduma, 2 shots. V'yom ha'shlishi v'yom ha'shvi. It's all Hashem is training our minds, getting us ready, putting us in a frame of mind of how things are going to work when Mashiach will come. Okay, so we have over here this idea. Now let's go for a look at the solution over here. Al-Kain is going to, the Kiddush is going to be to spashing B'chol makom sheyoch leilich shvig v'vechem k'shu v'yosur v'alsus v'yarsiros next, v'yarsiros and patz sheyimotsu oz v'yis amidah sheyu kamizrakim shemiruf ha-karbonos yosim b'chem dam ha-zevach l'zorkoy am ha-lamizbeach. A little one more time. The siros are the pots. The mizrakim are the bowls. A mizrak is for liquid, blood. The mizrak we use to collect the blood for Kabbalah Saddam. A seer is a pot that's used to cook the meat of a korban. And here he says, a siros sheyimatsu oz b'beis hamikdash, you can mizrakim. It will be like the mizrakim, shemiruv ha-karbanos, due to the abundance of karbanos, yosimu b'hem. Oh, so he's saying a new pshat. No one said this. He's saying an idea that no one said. They're going to use the pots for blood. You see this? You see he's saying something very good over here. No one really explained it in such a good way like him. And there's a novel idea. Is there going to be so many korbanos? Okay, we need to kavala sadam. You have a kli. You have a base. You have a bowl. You have a bowl to. No, there are no more bowls left. Like come over here for the coffee over in the morning. There are no cups. Are there cups here today? There are cups here today, yeah? There are no cups. Alright, so go take the pot in the kitchen and you'll drink out of the pot. There are going to be no bowls for Kabbalah Saddam. They're going to use the pots that are ordinarily used to cook meat for Kabbalah Saddam. There's going to be a shortage. They're never going to be able to keep up with the demand of korbanos. There's going to be so many people coming to Yerushalayim to bring korbanos. There's going to be mamish, a shortage of bowls to be mekabel the dam, and they're going to have to improvise and use pots. And then you're going to have all the kashrus questions. I use a pot. The pot's treif. I use it for blood. Blood is chiv karis. You don't want to use the blood. You have to kashrus the pot. Cheres, you can't kashrus this. That it's cold. It's hot. Cheres. Is it hot blood? Yeah.
I was always wondering where, nowadays you don't see too much cattle, too much behemoths in Eretz Yisrael. Where are all these behemoths going to be coming from?
Genetically engineered. Genetically engineered. A Jew will always find a solution. Don't worry, leave it to the Jews. They'll find solutions to very quickly produce enormous number of animals for korbanos. I don't know. Good question. I really know. That's the only question. That's the only question. There are a lot of questions. Whatever, we'll figure it out. Let Mashiach come, and we'll figure it out. We'll figure out a solution to all the problems. But you know, Israel. You know, blood of an animal is hot. The whole shaila. I think that's hot. Yad Slensel. I think a lot of the halachas they learn from the blood has heat, and the moment of shechita. The whole shaila is the sacking of shechita is a treif. Do you need to do hagolah? We have a general principle that anything that is cold, if someone calls up the rabbi and says, Rabbi, I have a flesh in tikkapat, and someone poured in, my child took me, poured in milk. Our flesh took upon me, poured in milk. So yes, is it cold or hot? Everything's cold. No problem, just rinse it out. You don't do anything. You have a metal pot and someone poured in some milk? Big deal, you rinse it out. There's no tarfus, there's no belia if it's cold, no such thing. So rinse it out, just do a very good job, clean it out with cold water. Don't go pour hot water, then you'll taka make a treif. You clean that with cold water, you're done. So what about the sakin, the chalaf that's used to do the ma'aser shchita? You have a shechet, he does shchita. He wants to eat lunch. He wants to eat some turkey roll. Oh, I can't find a knife. I'm going to use my chalaf. But I did shchita. Is it treif? No, well, or not. Because, I mean, if you cut it something that's cold, also not a duchat, it's sakina. But Pashup Shara, is it treif? No, it's not treif. Why? It's cold. You did a ma'isa shchita on the animal. The animal is not yatsu lettuce. Well, no, it's not true. The dam hanefesh that comes out at the ma'isa shchita, I don't remember all the details, I think is the starting point.
What temperature is considered hot?
So there are different temperatures. There's boiling. Boiling is, what's boiling?
212.
I remember.
212.
What?
212.
212, but 110 already or more. 110, I think already is, halacha, Moshe says it's already called Yatzir Ledesma. L'chumra. I know in the mikvah, I go occasionally to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, they put now a frog. It looks like a frog, a real frog. What in the world? What's this frog floating around in the mikvah? It's a thermometer. Okay, someone, they bought an Amazon, a cute frog, whatever. The guy who runs the mikvah, the whole guy is very into the mikvah. They built a new mikvah, they spent an enormous amount of money, and the person is still learning on the job how to get it perfect, with the chlorine and the filtering and the temperature. He's still figuring. And they have a thermometer. And the thermometer, so I could see, that I think they try to put on, make it 102 degrees, 103 degrees, and you talk, if 110 degrees is, you can't go into the mikvah anymore. It's already, you get burnt, you feel like you're getting burnt. And Moshe holds that 110 degrees is already called yatsu ledesbo l'chumra. Pasteurization is yayin mevushel. What is it called mevushel? Okay, so what is, I don't remember, years ago I remember reading something about, what is the temperature of the blood that comes out of the animal at the moment of shchita? I think it's about 110 degrees. I don't know exactly, I don't remember. So there's a shiloh over here, it's a halachic shiloh. If they're going to take pots that are used for cooking, and they're going to improvise, there are not going to be enough kalim to do the zrika, and they're going to use it for Kabbalah Sadam, are these pots going to need to be kashered with Hagalah before they're going to be, you can use it to cook meat, they become treif. If it's cold, you don't need to do hagol, you just need to rinse it. But if the blood is hot, then you need to do hagol. Is this called
why
hot?
Can you say, why can't you say either the treif or the miflet like all of it?
What? Going into the pot, what do you mean the miflet? That's when it comes to salt, that's when it comes to salting. That principle that you just said is a principle that comes dealing with salt. When you salt meat, so the meat is being salted in its own blood. You put salt, blood is coming out. Yeah, where's the blood going? It's sitting right there, so it goes right back inside. No, the moment the salt is working to get rid of the blood, it doesn't have the ability to absorb the blood. That's a different halacha. Here you have a kli, you have a utensil, you do a shchita. Rabbi Eliezer has arrived. We've been waiting for Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, you look like you're somewhere very, you look like you're in Phoenix, Arizona. The blood is coming out of the neck of the animal. The blood, I believe, la halacha, is called yatz ledesma. And that would mean that all of these pots are going to need agola. Are going to need agola when you're going to want to go use them to cook the meat. We have to check that out. What is the temperature? You can probably go on Google. What is the temperature of blood circulating in the human being.
It's not. You can touch the blood until you won't bring your hand.
That's what I would assume, right? That's what we would assume.
I was shochet.
Okay.
You touch the blood,
I don't know why. There's something that sticks in my mind about this. I remember reading something about this years ago. I don't remember. Okay, so I guess not. If it's not yad seled, supposed to then it's mizrokim. Again, the Namal here just says a very, very nice pshat, because the other farshim didn't really address the question. What's going on here with the Mizrakim and the Sirois? He says there's going to be a shortage. There's going to be such an abundance of korbanos. People are going to be coming from all over the world to bring korbanos. And the first thing you need by a korban is you need a kli to be mekabel the dam. And the Beis Hamikdash has a supply of kelim. And they're going to run out. So what are they going to do? They're going to improvise. They're going to take the pots that they ordinarily use to cook the meat of the chatos, the shlamim, the asham. They're going to take the pots that they normally use to cook. They're going to use those pots to do Kabbalah Sadam. That's a bracha. Because there's going to be so many people demanding korbanos. The Sirois are going to be like the Mizrakim. This is not going to be enough. That's what he's saying. This is going to be a shortage. Pasuk Chafal. Now, Pasuk Chafal is discussing an entirely different idea. Let's go back to the regular pots. All the pots, everyone's going to be eating Besar Kodashim. And there's not going to be, that's whether it's going to be Shlom, the Kashm Kalim. Notice he does not, it's in Yushalayim. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodshei Kodoshim, the Malbim is precise, only Kashm Kalim in Yerushalayim. Because Kodshei Kodoshim can only be eaten in the Azora, cannot be eaten in the Yerushalayim. The Chol HaZoifchim Yivash Lubohem, Ki Yerbu HaZoifchim Rev HaGedim Meroiv HaGedim HaOilam. So he's the first one here that says this concept. The Malm is always, always cutting edge. Always introduces novel ideas that you don't see in the Rishonim, and he talks about Gerim. And this is obviously very problematic, because Chazal tells us that L'Oslova, we're not Mekabel Gerim. We're not Mekabel Gerim, because it's too little, too late. Now is the chance. There are big billboards all over the country. It's either now or never. Those who want to convert, you're running out of time. The apocalypse is coming. Don't you see what's going on in this world? This world is coming to an end. It's either now or never you want to convert, because once Mashiach comes, we're not accepting you. The doors are shut. And he says over here, no. Those who are converts. Now, you don't need even to say this, even if they're goyim. Because a goy can bring a carbon oila. A goy can bring a carbon. They can't come to the Beis HaMikdash, but they can send a carbon oila. So you want to say Gerim means a Ger Toshav? Zayin mitzvah. By the way, I guess it's your question. I don't know the answer to this question. Just throughout this question, is when we say that a goy, a Gentile, can bring a carbon, does that mean even an Oyev Avodah Zarah, or it means a goy who is a Ger Toshav? Does that, when we say the Chazal that the Kibesi based Tefillah Chalo Amim, a goy, Gemara says, I don't know where the Gemara is, a goy can bring a carbon oila. A non-Jew can bring only one type of carbon, the carbon oil, which is completely burnt. They don't bring carbon shlam, they don't get to eat it. They bring the carbon oil. And I don't know, it's probably first halacha somewhere. I don't know, it's probably somewhere in the Rambam, maybe in the Gemara even. Does that mean even a guy who is a pagan, who is mamish and oivet avoid the zara, even from him we accept a carbon oil? Or does it mean only a ger toishav? Look, by Jews, would you accept a carbon from a Jew who's an apostate? I don't think so. I don't believe so. A Jew who goes off the derech, who's not shomer the Shabbos, do you accept a carbon? I can't imagine you do. If you don't give him an aliyah, nikar adin, you have a Jew.
You have a special pasuk called Esnan Zoyin.
Esnan Zoyin is not accepted, exactly.
Right.
Esnan Zoyin. So what about the person? So let's say the animal is a good animal, that's the chefs of the Yisub. What about the person? I can't imagine. You have all these very complicated shilas that. Yeah, these are very difficult questions. What to do with Jews who are not 100% shomer Torah mitzvahs? They come to shul. They want to participate in the service. Okay. Usually, the best thing is don't ask, don't tell. That's always the best solution for a lot of these problems. Don't ask. Don't know too much, and you're okay. But the question, but let's say Yitaka no, and the person is a problematic person, and he promotes his, and let's say, you know, he's a troublemaker. He promotes his version of Judaism. There are a lot of questions, a lot of very tough questions. If these are questions in shul, l'chayr in the Beis HaMikdash, it's even worse. I don't know.
Why did the question of Davish as Hazan and you added Lamal Shim? Because
the Lamal Shim are Jews that are out to get us. That's a different level, that's a different strategy.
You put it in because you know he wouldn't say it. But
he didn't say
he was able to represent.
They didn't come to shul. Those people who were saying v'lam al shinim or will
for
more,
them,
because
if
they're not coming to shul. Those people.
They would not come out.
Okay, when they're not coming to shul, the people who that we are referring to, v'lam nishu madim. The real girsa, by the way, is not v'lam al shinim. It's v'lam nishu madim. So they're not coming to shul. That's for sure. We have to worry about them. Davening chazor sashatz. All right, but if you see that there's so much rabbinic literature dealing with the issue of a Jew who's not fully religious, how we deal with him when he comes to the Beis HaKnesses, al-achas kam v'kamba, when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm sure there are problems. So the same way there are problems with Jew who's not religious, there are goyim who are not religious. There's a religious goy, and there's a non-religious goy. A religious goy is the Ger Toshav. He observes the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. He's called a ger toisha. And then there is a goy that's not willing to observe the Zionism. He wants to avod zara gilarei shvichas tavim. He doesn't care. But I also want to bring a karban. Do we accept the karban from him? I don't know. I don't think so. I would imagine not. And here it says over here, they're going to be gerim. What gerim is the Malbim referring to? Gam is not a rishon. You can't even be a daik in the Malbim. But Malbim is meguva gerim ha'olim. But I thought there's not going to be gerim. We're not going to accept the ger tzedek. So whatever this may be, so obviously the Malam over here learns that there are different stages. We discussed many times.
Gair is not a goy. Gair is not a goy. We're talking about a
but it says, the Malam over here is saying, we're discussing here, this event is taking place after Mashiach, after Hashem has arrived. Melchemes goy gu magog is over. Hashem has stood on Har HaZeisim. The earth has split. Water has come forth from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're living in a new world. And here it says, they're going to be an abundance of Gairin. The Rambam says, "We're not mekabel geirim la'asilavan." So you want to say, "Well, there are different stages of la'as." We discussed many, many times. There are many different stages. I think there are really four terms Chazal use. There's ikvus of the Mashiach, there's yimoy sam Mashiach, there is tchias hameisim olam haba. There are at least four different terms. At least four different terms. So what does it mean? What is it? Where are we now? What are we describing now? I have no idea. No one knows what this means. Let's go further. The lo ye last part, this last pasuk, which we spent so much time on, this very fascinating idea of the Kenani. The lo ye oit soicher umoicher kivasim b'toyrim uvnei yoinu l'kadoshim k'mo shahoya t'chila shayumalim oisam b'damim. There's no one going to be selling. When it says here the Kenanim, we're referring specifically to people who sell livestock. Remember what we learned in Rashi? Rashi said, no, Rashi said another parish, was it the Radak? What did Radak say? It meant people who sell kalim. Lo yitztarech, the base, what are the Malbims, the Radak? The base, Hashem or Lischa, Shimkar, Shimsius, the Radak. The Radak said, there's going to be no one's going to be selling pots. All of the pots are going to be dedicated. It's not going to be a pot store in Yerushalayim. Because all of the factories will be producing pots only for the Beis HaMikdash. There will be nothing available for the common man. According to the Malbim, he says something similar, but not pots. Pots you'll be able to buy in the store. You're not going to be able to buy livestock. Because all of the livestock that are going to be cultivated are going to be genetically engineered in the laboratory for the Beis HaMikdash. They will be given immediately to the Beis HaMikdash for Kerbonis. In the old days, Lo Mesechta Shkolim, Mesechta Tabid, Mesechta Yoima. What do we learn there? That a person who came to the Beis HaMikdash, we don't want you to come with your own animal. We're not looking for trouble. We take care of that for you. You just bring your credit card. It's all we need is your credit card. You swipe your credit card, we give you a ticket. Go to the Kohen. The Kohen has a supply of animals of Yayin, of Mincha. We don't want you to bring anything. We don't trust you. You're going to bring animals, you know what's a kosher animal. The average person doesn't know. If you bring a carbon chatas, what kind of animal? The guy shows up with a giraffe. Excuse me, we don't bring giraffes in the days of HaMikdash. Not everyone knows that. Not everyone, you'll be surprised. A guy comes with a fish tank. I want to bring the fish as a carbon. Excuse me, we don't bring fish here. Not everyone knows. You need to bring a carbon chatas, we got you covered. We have kivasim, si'idim, elim, toilim, ubinayoina, we got you covered. We have over here a supply. We know what it needs to be. What you need to bring yayin from the sakin. We don't want your wine. Who touched your wine? Maybe it's yayin nesach. Maybe it's yayin levushal. Don't do us any favors. Just bring your credit card. And we'll give you a ticket. And you go to the kohen, you present the ticket, your receipt, and they bring out the animal, and they service you, and they give you musr, and they give you a training course in making sure you walk out of here a different person. You are humble to the experience of bringing the carbon. Just bring your credit card. So there were merchants. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were suppliers. There were probably bids, contract. There were bids, you know, the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we want to now make a contract with a supplier for the next year. There were merchants, the Canaanim. Who will be the one that will supply the yayin for the next year? Kedem will make a bid. This will make a bid. And then the Kohanim will fight. No. This is a Chabad. No good. It'll be Levedik to go and to find contractors. And it could very well, I always tell you this, it could very well be that each Mishmor brought in their own suppliers. It was diversity. Every week, it was a new show. The Nigunim they sang for Shira were different. The clothing of the living, everything. It was a whole new show every week. It could be they brought their own suppliers. So it says no. La'asalavo v'loye. It says v'loye kanani oy tirgim yonison. What do I want to read over here? Want to read this over here? Loye kanani oy. Last line on the page of the Malbim. What am I reading? I'm reading the Radak, my mistake. I'm sorry. The Malbim. Below, second to last line of the Malbim, towards the bottom. Below, ye oit secha moicha kvasim, the toidim of neyoina lakadashim kumosha yitchila, shayimal masam bidamim. People would buy, would pay money. Ki lo yasu sechoida verrevach, bozer. You're not going to say in the Kaddish, revach. This is not going to mean revach. Ki kulam yinadvu baha mosehem lakadash. Everyone will be honored to give a donation of their animals for free to the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of Korbanos. It's going to be free. Free Korbanos. Free, isn't that amazing? It's quite amazing. Okay, let's see, we have some time over here left. We have Mamash Shafim to start off. We're going to finish with Shua over here. Do some Amare Chazal. On the bottom of the page 588, to finish up. Okay, we'll try to finish up Sefer Zechariah. Pasuk off the bottom. On that year, al mitzilos mitzilos hasus, on the bells of the horse, kodesh l'Hashem. V'hoya, we spent a lot of time discussing what that means exactly. V'hoya sivos reis Hashem ki mizrukim lufnei ha-mizbeach. Mai mitzilos hasus. Amar Rabbi Yishuv Levi. Osa sh'akadosh baruch hu l'chayisif al Yerushalayim ad shi'ur shahasus rotz u'meitzel. Meitzel, we learned before, means he had the editor in the parish. Matil tzel tachta produces shadow, a shade, under its belly. When does an animal have shade under its belly? Midday, chatzos hayoyim. Because in the morning, the shade is on the west. In the evening, the shade is on the east. Because wherever the sun is, the shade is on the opposite side. But chatzos hayoyim, the sun is pretty much in the center. If it's in the center, so where is the shade going to be? Underneath the belly. So the amount of time that a horse can travel in a half a day, in 6 hours. If a horse can travel in an entire day, we don't know, whatever it is, we discussed yesterday, according to Wikipedia, a horse can travel in an entire day between 50 and 100 miles. So that means half a day is between 25 and 50 miles. And we learned that in Chazal, and it turns out that comes out with 45 mil. Okay, so there's something similar going on. The Yerushalayim is going to be expanded. Now, that's not exactly what we learned before. Not that this nusach of Lohi Sif is not exactly consistent with other Mamari Chazal that we've come in contact with, because they seem to indicate that it's not an expansion, it's going to be a relocation. Does it mean it's going to be expanded? Or no. Pack your bags, and there's going to be a road, there's going to be no man's land in between the old Yerushalayim and the new Yerushalayim, and there will be a shuttle service to get you, or cable cars, to get you from the old to the new. But there's going to be no man's land in the middle. Here it doesn't say that. Here the other Ma'ariv Chazal, which they don't necessarily agree, or we are describing different tekufos, different eras in Yemos HaMashiach. In the beginning, there'll first be an expansion, and then there'll come a point in time where there'll be a relocation, because we need to set up quarters for the Kohanim and the Levim and the support system for the Beis HaMikdash. The word mitzilois, so according to the first interpretation, the word mitzilois means shade. This is a chazara. We learned all these perushim in the Rashi, the Radak, and the Mitzubas. This is chazara, the makar, the source of where all of the mefarshim drew their commentary from. The second interpretation, the word mitzilois means a bell. A bell. Ki amar ki mitzilois means pa'amonim. This is what it says in the editor puts in shetoylin lasus bein enum to mitzvahs l'loy yeh kodesh l'Hashem sheyinadvu oisam l'beis hamigdash, period. I want to suggest that this is the makar. This is a wild thing to say. The makar, why on the Sefer Torah, it is our minig on the Keser Torah and the Choshen, it is the minig to put bells. Why are there bells? I think the people will tell you, why there are bells? Because it's like the Kohen Gadol. I think that's the pretty standard thing. When you go open up, why is it? Yeah, what? Just stop for fun? Why are you going to? I don't even know where they sell these things. You want to buy a keser Torah. So keser Torah. I remember I grew up in young Israel, so the bells always fell off. The bells always broke. They fell off. I remember this one Balabas, in fact, he passed away this year. Pretty sure he passed away in Eretz Yisrael. He always was very into the bells. He wasn't the bells of chassid. He wasn't the bells of chassid, but he was very into the bells. And every yomtiv before Rosh Hashanah, he would even ask me, where are all the bells? Where did they go? We put them away somewhere. And he would take the keser to the I don't know where he brought it. He took it somewhere. And he had polish, nice polish. And he had all the bells put back on, professionally put back on by a jeweler, that they should not fall off, even though next year they all fell off anyway. Okay, you need business. You sabotage, then more business. And then on the Choshen, there are bells. And I remember actually reading somewhere, learning, we once learned probably together, is that who says you got to make bells? It makes noise. Afshin also on Shabbos, when they take out the Sefer Torah. Awesome. The ones that we had a clapper inside. They made plenty of noise. They made a lot of noise. So how do you like doing making noise? Afshin milsa. It's. I don't remember. It's obviously it's mutter. And why? So whoever asks you to put a bell on the choshen and on. So the answer you'll see is because the Sefer Torah is begeder the Kohen Gadol, holiness, the nishma koiloi biva oyal hakodesh. When you take it out, everyone should know the Sefer Torah is in motion. You have to be aware, wake up. The Sefer Torah is in motion. You have to hear that sound. The Rash Gadol, the Torah is moving. That's why there are bells to make noise. You have to know what's going on. The Rash Gadol. And then after you have the Rash Gadol, you bring the Sefer Torah from the Oroi to the Bima, then comes the Kol de Mamadaka. That's the Valkyria. The Valkyria, he lays, even though he should be loud, hopefully you should hear, but it's a coiled mamadaka relative to the rash of the bells. That's Pashup Shat. I want to tell you a dush. The bells is the most of the Shiach. The bells on the Keser is aspiration. Bayoy mahu yi al mitzilois hasus koidesh la Hashem. Okay, we have according to one shot, they're actually gonna etch into every bell the words like the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. It says yesterday, they're gonna etch into every single bell, they're gonna take the bells off the horses, because this represents the victory of Melchanes Gog Magog. According to one of the Mefarshim, it's the dead horses, it's the victory of Melchanes Gog Magog, and as a constant zecher of the victory of Melchanes Gog Magog, they're gonna take the bells, they're gonna etch Kodesh LaHashem, and then what do you do with these bells? If you're going to etch Kodesh LaHashem, you're going to melt them down? So why did you bother to go and say, why did you bother to go and etch Kodesh LaHashem? You're going to use these bells to decorate the Sifrei Torah. To decorate Kol Dover Shabbat Kedusha as a zecher for the victory of Melchanes Gog Magog. Kodesh LaHashem, the incredible miracles. The miracles of Melchanes Gog Magog are going to make the miracles of Mitzrayim look like child's play, Chazal said. And we have to always remember that. So when you see the bells on the Kesel HaTorah, this is a dogma of Kodesh LaHashem of La'asa Lavai, the Mitzilos Hasus, Kodesh LaHashem. Okay, this is a drush. It doesn't say this anyway. This is what the Kodesh, this is the drush of the bells. This year, for the very, you always live and learn. See new things you never saw before. I was blown away this year on Shavuos. You thought my gaiva, I thought I knew everything. But I saw something this year that made an impression on me. It made a very big impression on me, in fact. On Yom Tov, on Shavuos, I come to shul, it's Yom Tov night, I daven very often in the yeshiva, or Yitzchak, in an avenue out, and you know, and they do their bracha every year. They very beautifully decorate Aron HaKodesh. They spend a lot of money on it. It's a very nice thing. They spend a really significant amount of money. I don't know who gives the money, but it's a lot of money. They don't just put little, flowers here and there. They really go to town. They have professions, done professionally. Every year it's different. Every year they beautify Aron HaKodesh with flowers. And then I noticed on the side, we have two like platforms on the left and the right. And what was on the platform? It was the Keser HaTorah. They took out the Keser HaTorah out of Yoron HaKodesh, and they put the Keser HaTorah on two sides of the Aron on the blue platforms. And here's the point. And the two Kesarim were beautified, the silver Kesarim were beautified with roses in a very artistic way, in a very beautiful way, with fresh roses. Wow. Where did they get this idea from? So someone told me that that past week, one of the people in the yeshiva, who was a macha, he went to a Hachnosa Sefer Torah in probably, I don't know, somewhere in Lakewood, whether it was Jackson or Tom's River, and it was a Hachnosa with the whole, the whole shtiel, with the music and with the chuppah, as we've all seen, and it was a new Sefer Torah, and it was they also bought a keser for the Sefer Torah, and they decorated the keser with roses. Red, this beautiful red, professionally done. And this fellow, who was in the yeshiva, was blown away. Wow, that's really nice. You know what? Shavuos is coming around. It's coming around. Let me incorporate this idea into, the decoration of the yeshiva of the Aron HaKodesh. And we're going to take the kesarim, we're going to beautify them with roses, the silver kesarim with roses in the professional way, and we're going to put it on display right near, right part of the beauty. And then when it came time for the psicha, they took the keser with the roses, which you don't see the whole year, right? And they put it on, and it was a kavod haTorah. It was talking very, very beautiful, fresh roses on the keser haTorah.
Rabbi, roses have thorns.
So they have these. Not
careful, you don't get too close to Torah.
So, why am I telling you this? Because this is, I'm telling you over here, is triggered in my mind because of what it says in this passage. Bayoy mahu yiyeh al mitzilois hasus kodesh lahashem. They're going to take the bells that decorated the horses of Melchemes Goygu Mogad, these horses with the weapons of mass destruction to destroy Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously brought about our salvation. And we're going to take the decoration of these weapons that were meant to destroy us, and we're going to etch upon them Kodesh LaHashem. And what are we going to do with it? It doesn't say what we're going to do with it. It says, so I'm suggesting what we're going to do, it's going to do, if you're going to etch on it Kodesh LaHashem like the tzitz, obviously you're not going to melt it down into a pot. Obviously you're going to take this as a zecher. We're better to take it as a zecher. I'm trying to tell you the truth, is you're going to put it on the earth, on Dover Shabbat Kedusha. Like today, the Minhag Yisrael, you see in all of the Keser HaTorah, there are bells, I don't know all of them, but many of them have bells dangling from the Keser HaTorah. You decorate. And I'm saying, Yitaka, just like they decorate with bells. Even today, I've seen this beautiful thing they did, to decorate the Keser itself with roses. And so just like it made an impression on me to take the Keser HaTorah and decorate with fresh roses, they're going to decorate the Keser HaTorah with the bells that were adorning the weapons of mass destruction that were meant to destroy us. Kodesh LaHashem. You see how much Hashem loves us? He saves us? That's what it says over here to some degree. Let's go back, finish up over here, at least as Ma'am Chazal, because we're running out of time. Shetoilim Lasusim Bein Eina. Now he then the Hainu. Amazing. Call mitzilos samanim shetol lasus bein ena between its eyes. Lenoi. He is in Lenoi. That's not something we had a discussion. He's mixing. We had, because according who says bein ena means Lenoi. We had this whole discussion. Between its eyes was a navigation technique. Doesn't necessarily mean it was there for beauty, but the Radak said it was for night. And he said Adrab, it was not between its eyes. He said it was on its shoulders. When it's Lenoi, it's on its shoulders. Bein Einav, we suggested, was a navigation technique, whatever. LaShem and L'Yel Kosh, LaShem Shinat Vo Yisam Lo Yisam Megdosh, they're going to give a donation. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kol Biza Shabayz Mishol Mi'anshei Tzavo Goy Gomogog Ad HaShosh, they're going to collect the spoils of war. Ad HaShosh HaSus Rotsu Meitz B'Yekodesh LaHashem. Now, Bishlas, we'll be quickly over here. Let's see over here. This goes, how far does go on? After this tomorrow, Bishloim all the man the other says called Biza Shabazu Yisrael Haimel Biza Haimel Siv Haya Hasiras Beis Hashem Kemizrakim of Namizbech. If it's going to be Biza spoils of war, we understand they're going to give it as bowls. They're going to take. The next pasuk goes on to say that the pots, the Beis Hashem, they're going to be Kemizrakim. I don't know what's the proof. Let's just go a little bit further. El man the Yamar Bahanoch Tarte the other explanations. It means shade. And it means bells. My v'hoya hasiros b'beis Hashem. Question over here is, what is the connection to the next pasuk? We have pasuk chaf that talks about bells. Pasuk chafal talks about pots. What do bells and pots have in common? What is the common denominator between bells and pots? They both. Empty cans make a lot of noise. Empty pots make it. So if you learn that the bells are going to be a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So the pots were a donation and the bells were a donation. They took the bells, maybe they melted it down. But if you learn that, and when it says the word, it says tzilos, it means the expansion of Yerushalayim. And if you learn like the other interpretation, it means they're going to write upon it Kodesh LaHashem. They're going to write the word Kodesh LaHashem. So what is taking a bell and writing Kodesh LaHashem have anything to do with pots in the Beis HaMikdash? If you learn that the third interpretation, that the bells are going to be a donation, okay, you have this donation, you have that donation. But if when it says the word tzilos, it does not mean a bell, it means shade. And we are describing the expansion of Yerushalayim, or the second interpretation. They're going to take the bells and they're going to etch on the bells Kodesh LaHashem, and they're not going to use it for anything, so what's the connection? So the Gemara says, you're right, whoever told you they're connected. Mil sachlitikama, the misatre Yisrael, they're going to be wealthy. U misnadve umaisei, you're right, chayel luchud v'chayel luchud. There's going to be one Pasuk Chaf has nothing to do with Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Chaf is telling you the Yushlaim is going to be expanded. Now, or we're going to take these bells and we're going to write Kodesh Lashem and hang them up as a decoration. And then Pasuk Chaf Aleph is telling you an entirely new idea that the Jews are going to be wealthy and they're going to go donate pots. There's going to be so much wealth, there's not going to be a need for merchants. The first interpretation, so therefore, what's the connection? There's no biza. This is Rashi. This is Rashi. It's a nutrikin. Ain kan on the little poverty. Now the Yehuda goes back to Pasha. How do you know Pasha means it means a merchant? According to the first confession, the Chassid says the positive Vayasham Yehuda Bes Bas Ish Kenani. My Kenani. What is he? Kenani Le Mekenani Mamish. Evsher Bo Avraham Vehizer Es Yitzchak. Don't marry a girl from the Kenanim. Bo Yitzchak Vehizer Es Yaakov Vehuda Ozlo Venosev. This is an incredible Gemara. We haven't spent a lot of time on intermarriage. The technique of intermarriage is if your Zayde, if your Tata would not let you do this. And the Zayde would not allow you to marry a Shiksa. You're going to marry a Shiksa. Yehuda was the Enikel. Yehuda was the Enikel of Avram. Vayar Sham Yehuda Bas Ish Kenani. What was her name? Ushma? Shua.
Yeshua
Bashua. Bashua. Married a Kenani. A Kenani Avram said to Eliezer, don't take from the Benois Kenan. Go to Lavan. Yitzchak says to Yaakov, don't marry from the Benois Kanaan.
Maybe that's the pshat from Vayeh with Yehuda Me'ezekah. That's the pasuk before. Maybe that's part of
why. Yeah, but he's saying it can't be. But it can't be. It can't be. If Abraham told Yitzchak and Yitzchak told Yaakov, Yehuda, the Enikel, the Or Enikel, is going to go violate what the father and the grandfather did. Impossible. So what does it mean, Kanani? El Am Rav Shimon ben Lakish Bas Gavra Tagora. A gazir. He married rich. Kenani, he was a merchant. He was a merchant. The Chassid Kenan.
What nation was she from?
It doesn't say. We don't know. It doesn't say. It's not relevant. But she was not a Kenani. Kenan biyodai moizne mirma. You have a merchant. Biyodai is a bad merchant. He's a thief. Les Chazal, Rabbi Sim B'Shem, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ksiba Yomachu Ayal, Mitzilas Asus Kodesh, Al Mokam Shasus Rotz, Ve'ino Iset Tzel. Does not make Tzel Litzdadim. Like we said before, the same exact Maim Chazal as before time, Chatzos Yom, the expansion of Yerushalayim will go that far. Okay, there's one last point over here, very quickly.
That's
here
very
is.
Very hard, it says Kanani, but it doesn't mean Kanani.
You have this all over, Chazal, all over. Kanani either means type of merchant, but if it's a merchant, what kind of merchant? Either a merchant that's going to sell animals, or a merchant that's going to sell pots, or means we learn in Rashi that we spend a lot of time on this. Lo yitz, people are not going to need gashmias. They're not interested. Lo yitztorchu doesn't mean there's not going to be. People are not going to be obsessed with the latest and the greatest of gashmias. They'll just get by. It's not what you think about. You think about ruchnias or ein kan ani. We are all going to. Now, just the last point over here, and that is. That is, we discussed this last week, is that by this we're contrasting the Bizas Milchemis Goig Umagog versus Bizas Mitzrayim. And Bizas Mitzrayim was a terrible thing happened. Moshe, the people did not want to leave. We learned this already a few times. They got stuck there by after Yitzias Mitzrayim. They did not want to leave. Moshe had to force them. His Sion Bal Korchon Vayasa Moshe Esa'on. Moshe had to force them to leave Kriyas Yamsuf. Here is the rectus, and that was a terrible Aveira. You're going to Kabbalah Satoira. What do you need the all this money for? There's real treasures lay ahead. What are you obsessed with the money? This is the Tikkun. In Milchemes Goyg u'Magog, this pasuk says Klali Yisrael will achieve the ultimate tikkun. They're not going to be obsessed. They're going to say, "Oh, it's time to go." 12 o'clock. They're only going to collect the biza from the morning until 12 o'clock. When it's 12 o'clock, the koilel is over. It's time to go. It's over. They're not going to linger. They're not going to have any desire to linger. This is the tikkun of Vayasa Moshe Esa'on. They will go on their own. We don't need this money. What do we need this for? I have enough money. I got $5 in my pocket. What more do I need? In front of me is a Daf Gemara. In front of me is Ruchnius. I'm not obsessed with the Gashmius. This is the ultimate tikkun for the ultimate chait. The ultimate chait was not the chait or ego. You know what the real chait was? Vayasa. After Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe says, now it's time to for Matan Torah. And they said, no, it's not. It's time for the money.
Well, that's where you have the next one slain. You have the proof of it. You know, it says in the Masos. You have over here, Vayasim, it says, so that's they after the Yamsuf they traveled 3 days, and so on and so forth. Then another pasuk later it says they were gone already.
Yeah.
So Mefarshim say
they went back. Bal Korchon. Rashi says Klor.
Some said they left the Yamsuf twice.
The first after Miriam, Matan Hamir, Mashul Hashem Kiga Ogo Os, Sus Rachel Ramavayam. And then it says Vayasa. It should say Vayisu. What's Vayis? Vayasa. Bal Korchon. That was the worst thing. After all this, you only want money, you don't want to go to Har Sinai? That was the pits. Here is the tikkun. The Bizas Milchemis Goy Gumagoy. We're going to collect until 12 o'clock. And Mitzilas Asus, and then we're done. We're finished. We couldn't care less. We got enough money. Out of here. Oh, that's Mashiach. When Jews can say they don't want money, you know Mashiach is really here, not make believe. Okay, I think we're really finished. I think it's pretty scary. I see on Treyasar. Listen, Rabbi Yisrael, we spent an enormous, enormous amount of time on this. It's a tremendous simcha. Yoyma toivel rabbanon. And all I can say is, with toiveya from Zechariah Hanavi, to be for us, everyone here, Lagans Klal Yisrael, Amelitz Yoysha, Baruch Hashem, we spent an enormous amount of time studying his holy words of Nebuah. And it should be a zuchus for everyone here and the whole Klal Yisrael to have besorois, toivois, yeshuois, v'nechamois, all of the inyanim, refuah, gezunt, anasa, shiduchim, kol mash libei chafetz, yimali Hashem kol mashalis libechem letoiva, amen sala. Mazal tov.
How many people?
We're going to take a short break.
On Zoom?
On Zoom, we have about 20, about? Yeah.
Is there any way you can make the volume higher?
Okay, it's hard to hear.
Tell them to come in.
Let me just clarify. Let me just clarify. Dr. Friedman, are you having a hard time hearing me? Do you want to make sure who's... No, here, it's okay by you? Ablaza, how is the volume by you? Rabbi Lezer, can you hear me? Rabbi Lezer,
It could be better.
It could be better? Okay, let me, before we do anything drastic, let me just tell you, on your screen, on the very bottom left, there's a button there with the microphone, it says mute. Right next to that little button, there is an arrow pointing up. If you click on that little arrow pointing up, you will then see where it says audio settings. When you click on audio settings, you'll see where it says speaker. Speaker on the very, very top. You can adjust the volume, output volume. It's on the highest. Okay, it's on the highest. Okay, so the problem here is
microphone.
That's for you. That's for you going in.
The bars are high.
You have an output volume where you can slide it to the right. Okay, so the problem is then with me. It's like
no
sugar.
Problem with you. The problem is
all right, so I'm gonna try to speak. I'm gonna try to speak closer to the machine. Okay, I'm gonna speak closer, and I'm gonna try. I put it in the microphone, but it didn't work. The microphone, it didn't recognize the microphone. So I'm gonna try to find a solution shortly. But in the meantime, I'll for the remainder of today, I'll speak close to the machine.
Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.